Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Wisdom Walk here on Black Hole Radio. I am your host and guide, Jojapa Maria Ensaroma, and October is the second and final month in this mind-blowing mineral year of clarity, confidence, and courage. This October, thanks greatly to the courage of 16-year-old Greta Thunberg, brings heightened consciousness for Earth Day on the 22nd and our need to take care of the Earth. Now, let me say this, that officially Earth Day is April the 22nd, but I think this issue is so important that every 22nd day of the month should be designated as Earth Day. And because October is an Earth month, according to the wisdom that I keep, it makes sense that I started off with October 22nd as the Earth Day for the month of October. And again, global warming, climate change. Yes, of course, the Earth goes through its changes. That's been going on for millennia. But it is something that we do need to pay attention to, and we need to open up to learn how to work with what's going on rather than to be ignoring it, denying it, or thinking that we can conquer it. The word hearth, my theme for this month is hearth healing. And so the word hearth means home. And without its second H, it is heart. And without its first H, it is earth. So the hearth encompasses home and heart. And spiritually, from a spiritual perspective, when we take on healing our heart, especially our brokenheartedness, and our home in the way that we treat our personal home or the home around us, the environment around us, when we take on healing that, we're going to be healing the earth. Yeah, because we're all connected and it's vibrational. So through three live broadcasts and videos, I honor the deep connection that exists in our heart, our home, and our home of homes, the earth. So this week I am providing the third of this three-part theme on hearth healing with healing the earth. But first, for those of you who may be listening in for the first time, let me give you a brief overview of Wisdom Walk. It is a personal development resource for your mind, body, and soul. My ministry is any pain that is not transformed will be transferred. So the essential goal of my shows is to support you, if you're listening or watching, in learning how to recognize and release any and all pain that may be blocking you from fulfillment in life, or what I like to call having your happy endings in life. So every Sunday night at 5 p.m. Pacific time, which is 8 p.m. on Eastern Seaboard, I broadcast live on Black Hole Radio. And I have stopped doing YouTube Live, so I can do some editing with my videos. But I will do, you know, maybe once every couple of months, another YouTube Live. And if for some reason, if you're listening into this live podcast right now, and you get a problem with your internet, know that you can listen to the live broadcast over the phone. At this phone number, it's area code 563-999-3089. Now, I usually don't have enough time to take questions or have comments, you know, to do like a talk show. This is really what I call a spiritual spill every week. But there is a way that you can leave me questions or make comments by using my website, which is www.wisdomwalktoselfmastery.com, or my Facebook page, which is Wisdom Walk Radio. Or if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free, of course, to use the comments box, which you find below this video. But right now, I'm going to ask you to sit or lay back and join me for an exploration of the inner landscape where we can connect to our souls and discover the true treasure of being human. So, if you are a regular listener or watcher, you know that I always like to start off my work by taking time to honor the ancestors. And because tonight I'm going to be talking about healing the earth, I wanted to have us remember and call on those ancestors who knew how to connect with the earth and who taught us how to do that or were good role models for that. So I'm going to quickly share with you about my grandfather Frank Brown. My grandfather was born in 1906. It might have been 1905 or 1906. So he grew up at a time when there were still very much farms around, that people lived out in the country, they called it, and actually lived on a farm, worked on a farm. And his mother was Cherokee. He came from a town called Early Branch, South Carolina. and her family either had been hiding during the Trail of Tears, or they were among the group of Cherokee who actually walked back from Oklahoma and came back into their land. I like to think that she's one of those. And so my grandfather had this indigenous wisdom in a mother. And so he grew up, even though she died when he was only 5 years old and was raised by an older sister, but they had that legacy of respecting and honoring the land. And so I can remember that where I grew up on Staten Island, there were woods around our home. It wasn't all developed the way it is now. It wasn't all concreted over. There were actually woods with trees and big boulders that you could slide up and down on, and walking paths, and lots of sticky bushes and all kinds of things in this wonderful woods. And when it was like a huge area to me as a child. When I think about it now, it was only about maybe a couple of blocks, that it encompassed. And so I would go out in the woods with my grandfather to look. He would be looking for medicine. And he understood that there were plants and even bark from the trees that you could take and create medicine from. And there was some sarsaparilla in the woods. And so we came across that, I can remember, and he did the cuttings and he was showing me about it. And we came home and he boiled it up in a pot, and we got an empty medicine bottle. I think it was like cough medicine bottle, and I made a little label for it calling it Grandpa's Medicine, And he showed me about milkweed and, just all these different things, so that I learned as a child that you don't have to be afraid of nature, that nature is there to support you. And that by connecting with nature, interacting with nature, honoring nature, that you can be healthy and supported. And I know that there are people that grow up totally in a concrete world and only get snippets of the woods based on a park or a green area that some environmentalists and ecologically minded people have fought the city to hold on to. But even that is of help to help us connect to the earth. So I share that story with you, and I hope there are those of you listening and watching that also have a similar remembrance of some adult who was able to connect you or get you connected to nature. So think about those persons and call out their names as I call up the ancestors, including my grandfather, to help us at this time in humanity's journey to really remember the importance of connecting with and honoring our earth. Creator, Mother, Father, God, Source, Level One, all that is, thank you. We thank you. We thank you for your blessing and your mercy in our lives and for yet another opportunity to open up to receiving support from our invisible and wonderful guides and teachers called the ancestors. Creator, this day we're calling upon the ancestors to help us remember the importance of honoring and connecting with the earth. And so I call out now to the ancestors saying, ancestors, 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 please come close to us. Please come be with us because we need your help, your guidance, your love, your wisdom to remember how to connect with and how to honor our earth. We are living in a time when modernity has made us fall asleep to the fact that we are nature beings, that we are part of this earth. And we have so disconnected ourselves that we really are not doing enough of what needs to be done during this time of great change and transformation on the earth to really, really make sure that there can be balance for all living things. So please come to us. Please give us the thoughts, the ideas, the information, the connectedness, and, of course, the remembrance for how to heal our earth, heal ourselves, stay connected and to honor this beautiful, beautiful planet home that God has given us to be on. And so, Creator, I ask and thank you for the blessing of the ancestors helping us with our connection to the earth. In the name of all that is holy, I say amen. Ashe Yeho Asah, Ashinga Bizilah, and so it is. Ashe. Wow. Just amazing, amazing stuff. And for those of you who are listening, because I sometimes just flash a look at my book because it's on a bookcase behind me, but I do want to, for those listening, just mention my book, and I'll hold it up here for those who are listening, looking. It's called The Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery. It just came out in May, and it is about this ancient wisdom that I am so honored and privileged to be a keeper of. And in this book, I take you through this medicine wheel, which is the treasure of the Dagara tribe of Burkina Faso, West Africa, where my teachers, Maladoma Somme and Sobhompho Somme, came from. And this medicine wheel provides us with just a wonderful cosmology, a wonderful map, if you will, for how to be in balance. And part of that is about our connecting to the earth. And I have information in there about earth people and an earth ritual. So if you want more information besides Googling, you can check out my book. It is available on Amazon. Got it turned upside down. It is available on Amazon. It's also available on Kindle. And if you want to give me a little bigger income, you can go directly to my self-publishing website, which is, and I'm going to forget it. I'm actually forgetting the name of my self-publisher. Shame on me. Oh, it's Balboa Press. Getting old is interesting. And it's www.balboapress.com. Okay, commercial done. Now, let's talk about the elemental wisdom for this week. And again, I do this every week. And so, again, if you want to know more about the medicine wheel, it's in the book, and you can get some basic information about the medicine wheel. And so because January 1st started on a Tuesday, I see that as the first day of the elemental week. And so this Tuesday is the 22nd, and that means that we are going to have a double fire week. Yeah, a double fire week. And that'll go, of course, until Monday the 28th. So in this double fire week, and double fire, of course, is about transformation, here's the opportunity, doubly the opportunity. It's about being truthful with yourself and others. Call upon your ancestors to bring you clarity when you feel confused or conflicted. Walk your talk. Live in self-referred consciousness, meaning trust your intuition and honest feelings more than the opinions, advice, or judgments of others. Allow your inner authentic self to be in charge of your life versus the image of yourself that you project out to the world. As Mr. Rogers said, people can love you exactly the way you are. So this fire week, double fire, because it's a 22, saying, yeah, let's be truthful. Let's really let it all hang out in terms of who we really are. Yeah. And not allow the status quo or other people's opinions to stop us from being who it is we really are. So distractions for this week, because anytime we have an opportunity, a distraction is going to show up. And that one that I just mentioned about maintaining the status quo, you know, going along with other people's programs so that you can fit in or be liked or be loved or whatever. That's just a distraction, and it's not going to work. It won't bring you fulfillment in life. Also, abandoning your true self in order to please others or avoid conflict, similar thing. Pay attention to that. Notice that, you know. you may have been doing your work for a while, but you can still get around a certain group of people or certain people where all of a sudden you like you hold back or you shut down. I know about that. I've been through that journey. Lying to yourself or others about the truth of who you are, not good. Sacrificing your needs in order to belong or be included. Yeah, that's another tough one. And then last but not least, that fear of not being liked, loved, or accepted. That fear will have you give over your power, give away your power, so that you're not being in your truth. And that's never a good day, never a good day. Now, next Tuesday, the 30th, it will be an Earth Week. And I'm actually going to take a break next week. So here's a little tidbit of what the Earth Week will be about. It's about time to give support, pay it forward, and be an inspiration. Be an inspiration, yeah. So really, really good stuff, especially coming off of the full moon that we had in Aries last week on the 13th, on last Sunday. And moving right into the astrological forecast, just to recap, that moon last week was really something else. It was really, really something else. Very powerful moon. And I had to go to school and learn more about astrology to be able to share with you all of what was going on so that you just had an understanding of it. And, you know, the overall message was that the universe was making way for us to come out, to step out into our unique truth and our personal power, to have that courage to be authentic, just like what this Fire Week is also calling forth. So it's almost like a continuation of what opened up with the new moon. And I can tell you in my healing work, people that I work with have had some amazing, amazing, you know, revelations and insights, or found the courage to speak a truth that they've been holding on to for a very long time. So this energy has been intense, but it's been good. It's been worth it because people really are providing evidence of breakthrough, that we're breaking through in things. So next week on Sunday the 27th, it's interesting how all these moons have been right on Sundays, but we're having a new moon in Scorpio. We start Scorpio season on Wednesday. We move into Scorpio for real, for real. And the astrologer that I use, who's Barbara Goldsmith, for this says four planets are in Scorpio, making this a perfect time for, guess what? Self-transformation and rebirth. Because the sign of Scorpio is associated with that cycle of death and rebirth. Also, you should know that Mercury is currently in Scorpio and will stay there until December 10th. Now, this is very unusual for Mercury, right, to stay in a particular astrological area over 6 weeks, you know, to be in the same sign for over 6 weeks. Yeah, that's unusual. So that's interesting that that's going to be there. And on top of that, Mercury will go retrograde on Halloween on the 31st, and it'll be retrograde until November the 20th. So right before Thanksgiving, it breaks out of that. So here's some contemplative stuff that Barbara shares in association with this new moon coming for next week. She asks, what are you aware of that you need to change? Are you overspending, overeating, overworking, overtired, overwhelmed? What needs to die and be transformed? Yeah. I think that is a fabulous and important message for us, especially right now with what is going on. So, again, know that that energy for being who you really are and for addressing where it is that you may be out of balance, which I'm going to talk a little bit more about in a minute, this is a good time with this week to take some action. Take some action. So here's what I would like to share with you tonight. I'm going to first do, of course, a quick review about healing your broken heart and your home. And then I'm going to talk about the origin of Earth Day, because I think that's important. And a lot of people know it. I know I didn't know it until I really looked it up about, I think it was about 3 years ago when I found out the origins. And also, combined with that, I'm going to talk about the history of man's attempts to control nature, because we're going to talk about healing this earth. Then I'm going to talk about the shift from ego to echo, meaning how as humans we've been so egoic about what the earth is and what it means to us, but how do we move into being ecologically minded and, of course, getting into balance, so going from oversized to just right. And then I will share with you a faith gesture. It'll be my personal challenge for this week of how you can honor the earth from a spiritual perspective. I love the quote that I found for this week. And I also want to do, and you have to excuse me, I've got to step out of camera shot for 1 second. I knew I was forgetting something. I want to share a book, show you this book. It's hard to see in the camera because it's shining so bright. There we go. It's called Earth Prayers, and it's very popular. It's been around for a while, but it's just these wonderful, wonderful prayers to the earth, about the earth. For example, here's one from India's Rig Veda, the Veda teachings. It says, "May the wind blow sweetness, the rivers flow sweetness, the herbs grow sweetness for the people of truth. Sweet be the night, sweet the dawn, sweet be earth's fragrance, sweet be our heaven. May the tree afford us sweetness, the sunshine sweetness, our cows yield sweetness, milk in the plenty." You know? So just beautiful, beautiful stuff like that. Lovely poems and, you know, just little homages to this beautiful, beautiful earth that we live on. So I highly recommend this book. It's called Earth Prayers from Around the World, 365 Prayers, Poems, and Invocations for Honoring the Earth. Easy to find on Amazon. And so the quote that I pulled out, besides wanting to read you that poem, comes from Chief Seattle. And he was a chief of the Duwamish tribe in the Pacific Northwest. He lived from 1780 until 1866. And the city of Seattle is named after him. And he was an indigenous chief who, when he met the Europeans, they didn't want to kill them or mess them up. He wanted to feed them and make sure that they were warm and safe. And, you know, because it's like when strangers come, it's supposed to be a blessing. You know how that turned out. But anyway, Chief Seattle understood, and thank goodness we were able to get quotes from him and wisdom from him, even though this was so long ago. And he is quoted as saying, "This we know, the earth does not belong to us. We belong to the earth. This we know, all things are connected like the blood which unites one family. All things are connected. Whatever befalls the earth befalls the sons and daughters of the earth. We did not weave the web of life. We are merely a strand in it. Whatever we do to the web, we do to ourselves." Yeah. And that really sums it all up for how do we heal the earth. It is really about that. It's about remembering the truth, remembering what Chief Seattle and other indigenous people know, that the earth does not belong to us. We belong to the earth. So quick review with heart healing. My goal was to show how healing the heart will heal the home, will heal the earth, because we are energetic beings. And when you consciously take on healing your heart and your home, you ultimately will heal the earth, because you'll be making more loving choices and decisions for your living. And of course, I gave examples. There's so many in history, but I used the Fukushima nuclear disaster, that the fact that, intelligent people would build a nuclear power plant in an earthquake zone, just really speaks to this inability to have a healed heart. Because if your heart is flowing, if your heart is open, then you don't put people in danger. It's like you just don't do it. It doesn't happen. So I talked about one of the reasons that as adults our hearts are so shut down is because of heart brokenness, which happens in childhood, and that we don't get to consciously heal. But that we can heal it. We can take on healing our brokenheartedness, whether it came about from the usual way where you first fall in love and then your heart gets broken because they go find somebody else and they leave you. Or it could be, the death or absence of a parent, or even a parent being neglectful. It could be the loss of a friend or a sibling. It could be the loss of an animal. Could be the loss of a home, even as a child. That breaks your heart. That's heartbreak stuff. So to consciously heal our hearts, we have to honor our vulnerability. I said, basically we have to sit in the pain and release it, not run away from it, not cover it over. Also finding something to serve. Could also be someone to serve, but finding something greater than yourself that you can open your heart to. And give to, be present with. And then, of course, I talked about practicing forgiveness as a sacred gesture to releasing the carrying of that old pain of loss. I gave a personal challenge to help, you consider the experience of the broken heart, and is it still affecting you today? Is there still some work you need to do? And if so, to do a forgiveness letter to the person or about the place or thing that broke your heart, and to burn it in a sacred manner. And I also encourage you to do it as many times as needed to help heal your broken heart experience. Then last week I talked about home, but from a spiritual perspective of it being essentially about that caring of your soul to really accept that you are divine, that you have a divine connection. And so that means that home becomes three primary physical domains for you to take care of. One is your body, your dwelling, and then your surrounding environment. Again, home as that embodiment of your soul. It's a sacred space. It's a sanctuary to be honored and cherished. Yeah, think about that before you go to McDonald's. So it doesn't matter how much or how long you may have been mistreating your body or not treating your body, in an honorable way. But that doesn't mean that you can't learn. It's never, never too late to learn. And to do that, I said, you want to embrace a higher level of consciousness regarding your existence, meaning shifting up your belief system that you're just here to survive to, wait a minute, I'm here for a divine purpose. I'm here for a higher purpose. And to be able to really give yourself that, to really, really trust that. I also talked about getting your physical, financial, and social self in balance. Yeah. Yeah. Really, really important to do. And then I said, most importantly, I think, is the asking for and expecting spiritual guidance and help to achieve your goals with balancing out and, again, becoming able to really believe and treat your homes, your body, your dwelling, your physical surroundings like they're sacred. Yeah. My personal challenge was, again, contemplative, higher consciousness will work around how are you treating your body and your home? Are you treating them like they're sanctuaries? If not, why not? If you are, how are you doing that and how can you grow that? And I said to set an intention for what you would want to do, one thing that you want, identify and do one thing this week to make your body and your home sacred. And if you're already doing that, how do you increase that sacredness of your home and your body? Yeah. So now let me talk about healing the earth by, again, just saying that I am declaring that the 22nd of every month is Earth Day. So this Tuesday, which starts the fire week, it's going to be Earth Day in this Earth month of October. You know, because again, one day a year in April isn't enough for what we are going through right now. So I hope you'll join me in doing that. And it can be a day that you consciously do something to honor the earth. Yeah. And I'll make sure I keep up with it on my shows. So here's the origin of Earth Day. Really interesting. First, you should know that, you know, the earth and being connected to the earth after the Industrial Revolution, there's nobody thinking about that, right? Everything is about let's make money, let's make more money, and it doesn't matter what we have to do to make that money, we just need to make money. It was in 1962 that Miss Rachel Carson writes the book called The Silent Spring. It sells over 500,000 copies. It's on the New York Times bestseller list in 24 countries. And this is the beginning of a public awareness and concern for living organisms, the environment, and links between pollution and public health. Because even though, you know, people had an idea that, yeah, putting all that smoke in the air, putting all that, dumping all that toxic stuff from those factories into our rivers, it's probably not a healthy thing to do. But, you know, air pollution, water pollution was accepted as the smell of prosperity. It was like, well, this is just what we have to do so that we can be prosperous and wealthy and abundant, right? You know, in 1962, which wasn't that long ago, that's less than 60 years ago, the word environment appeared more often in spelling bees than on the evening news, right? So it was not a word that people used. So again, that was back in 62, and then by the 1970s, and of course from all of the upheaval and anti-establishment movements of the 1960s, including, of course, the Civil Rights Movement, you have that turn beginning, and the young people, the hippies of that time, were looking for another way because they knew, oh, we are going off the ledge. We got to do something different here. And they began to tune in, you know, and smoking their dope and having experiences, you know, out in the ethers. But they also wanted to get back to nature. They realized, like, we've been cut off. We need to get back. And so you have the beginnings of some stirrings going on around with the young people. And it just so happens that Gaylord Nelson, he was a U.S. Senator from Wisconsin. Can you imagine? It was Wisconsin. He was affected by the 1969 massive oil spill right here in Santa Barbara. And he could see that the young people were, you know, they're on, like they're moving, they're talking, they're shaking, they're protesting because they were protesting the war and other things. And he realized that if he could infuse that energy with an emerging public consciousness about air and water pollution, it would force environmental protection onto the national political agenda. And that's exactly what happened. he announced the idea for a national teach-in on the environment to the national media. He persuaded a Republican congressman, he happened to be Democrat, but he persuaded a Republican congressman to serve as his co-chair. He got somebody from Harvard University to bless the event as this is an intellectual and important thing to do. And he actually built a staff to help promote events across the land. He chose April 22nd as the day, or his team did, because it was between spring break and final exams for the kids. And so on April 22nd, 1970, 20 million Americans took to the streets, parks, and auditoriums to demonstrate a healthy, sustainable environment in massive coast-to-coast rallies. Thousands of colleges and universities organized protests against the deterioration of the environment. Groups that had been fighting against oil spills, polluting factories and power plants, raw sewage, toxic dumps, pesticides, freeways, the loss of wilderness, and the extinction of wildlife suddenly realized that they shared common values. Earth Day in 1970 achieved a rare political alignment. I'm getting this information from the website called earthday.org, so you can check it out. Again, it achieved a political alignment, enlisting support from both Republicans and Democrats, rich and poor, city slickers and farmers, tycoons and labor leaders. By the end of that year, the first Earth Day had led to the creation of the United States Environmental Protection Agency and the passage of the Clean Air, Clean Water, and Endangered Species Acts. Yeah. And, of course, we know that all of that under the Trump administration is in danger of not functioning or not being there. Yeah. How unfortunate. But it's important to know that there was a time when people got it and people understood this is not okay. We have to do something to turn things around. We've got to take on how we are going to clean this mess up because we have created a mess. So I want to talk now about why did humans lose the connection to the earth? If we came out of caves or we came up from holes or, you know, there was a time when there were no Empire State Buildings, you know, no tall skyscrapers like in Dubai, you know, or Singapore. What happened? Like, how did we lose that? And aside from some very specific historical or we call them, you know, progress, you know, examples of human progress that I can point to, you know, what it really comes down to is human desire to dominate nature. That's really what it comes down to. And, you know, in the medieval times, this really got fueled by the experience of the plague, because the plague just like comes and it just wipes people out, man. I mean, it just takes out Europe, you know. It was taking out people in Asia. It might have gotten a little bit in North Africa, but it never really got into the full continent of Africa. It didn't get to the New World in the way that it really did hit from Asia into Europe. And, you know, it was a thing where people didn't understand viruses at that time. They just knew that, you know, Mother Nature's taking people out. Like, people are just dying. God is just killing off people. And so a reaction to that was to figure out how to never have that happen again. Like, what needs to happen here? Like, we need to get nature in order. You know, the Europeans went through the Age of Reason, or also called the Enlightenment, like around 1685 into the early 19th century, like around 1821. But it makes the way for that. And the Age of Enlightenment, Reason basically was where they turned away from just letting the church dictate what you can think and what you can do, and they began to turn to science. Yeah. So they were coming up out of, decades and really centuries of being told that you can't question what the church is telling you. And they knew that somebody said, but wait, those are just men. They're not God. Like, something not right here. And so that age of reason is when science bursts onto the scene, and it opens the way for the Industrial Revolution. Now, this is the beginning of the end of agricultural society, because you could leave the farm and you could come into the city and work in a factory. Being on the farm, it was really, like toss of a coin. You never knew if you were going to get a good crop or not. You hoped so. You prayed. You did your rituals and all of that. But at the end of the day, you didn't know. And so you could be really hungry going through the winter. The factory seemed to guarantee that you would always have some money coming in, regardless of the weather, regardless of whatever was going on. And so you do have that rise of people moving away from being just farmers or just people who, lived in a agricultural society. And of course, after the industrial society here in the West, we've moved into the techno-info society. That's what I call it. So humans go from, I need to honor nature when we were indigenous, because all of us at one time were indigenous, we'll run around buck naked and barefoot. And we, at that point, realized that, of course, like, this is nature's taking care of us. Like, we have to honor it and respect it. It's much bigger than us. It's smarter than us. So we go from that to I need to work with nature. There was a period when it was like, okay, if I do this, then this means that. Farmers had things figured out about, like with the Farmer's Almanac, it told you, what crops to plant at which time and where and, watch this moon and all of that. So it was like, let's work with nature and we'll figure it out. And then from there we go to, I need to dominate nature. I need to be in charge of it in order to survive. Like, this is the only way I can survive. I've got to be in charge of nature. So even though this age of reason eliminates the medieval oppression, people get burned at the stake for just questioning things. I think it was Galileo when he said, we don't revolve, the sun doesn't revolve around us. We revolve around the sun. They labeled him a heretic, and he was on house arrest until he died. And then one of them, I think it was Copernicus, he didn't publish his stuff until he was on his deathbed. And he was like, okay, I'm leaving out of here. Now I can publish this because I know that they would burn me at the stake. So anyway, so they went from, they went from that kind of oppression, but they really swung the pendulum far over to the other side, to where it was science above spirituality. Because spirituality, got connected to superstition, it's mystery, you don't know. And now they were like, oh, no, we have to know. It's like Google, right? You can know whatever you want to know, just Google it. Yeah, right. And so we leave out spirituality. It gets left out of the classroom. We're no longer talking about it. And so some of the consequence of that is that even though concrete had been invented by the Roman Empire at the end of their empire for, the aqueducts and things that they were building, they had a raw form of concrete, but it's in the 1800s with the Industrial Revolution that they perfect it. And once you've perfected concrete, then you can pave nature over and be able to do things that you need to do easily and effortlessly without having to worry about mud and this and that. And it begins the development, of course, of what we have now, metropolitan regions, not just little towns and cities, but metropolitan regions where things are concreted over. True story for Wisconsin. There was a watershed. And it was in the neighborhood very close to where I live. And again, during this Industrial Revolution, they decided, let's concrete this over because we can just do it. Let's just concrete it over. So they concrete over this area, And it first they put a prison there. It was a prison like at the turn of the century into the 1930s. And then when World War II breaks out, they turn it into like a military base. And all this time, what's happening is the neighborhoods that are in the surrounding area where they've concreted stuff off is starting to flood. And the floods get worse and the flood gets worse. It takes until the 1970s, again with the environmental movement, for somebody to say, you know, you covered over a watershed, and so the water needs, it's coming from northern Wisconsin. It's trying to get to the lake, but you blocked its passage, so it's got to go around, and it's going to flood everything around, and your businesses aren't going to be able to run and all of this. And so they said, let's return it back to its natural state. And so it is a state park, the only state park in the city of Wisconsin that you don't have to pay anything to get to. I'm blocking on the name of it right now because it's precious. It's a precious woods. And they can never cement it over again because they know that they will mess up everything else around it, you know. And again, that's just one story, one example of how in this pursuit of I've got to control nature, instead of working with nature, you know, things can get really out of hand. Yeah, because nature clear about what it needs to do. The earth is clear about what it needs to do. It's us who needs to learn and get clear. So that loss of our connection to the earth, of honoring the earth, of respecting the earth, we stop believing that the earth was actually a living entity, and we begin to think of it as an object for our survival needs. We lose the ability to stay in balance as a result of that. Another great historical example is the Great Dust Bowl of the Depression era in the 1930s into the 40s in the Midwest, here in the United States. And what was happening is you had people coming and saying, I got this land and I'm going to farm it like I want to farm it, and I'm so happy I got my land, I'm just going to farm it and I'm going to keep farming it and farming it. And they got rid of the topsoil. Yeah. So when you get rid of the topsoil, you ain't got no soil that's going to grow nothing. And it was just dust. I mean, the dust of that crisis. It was a disaster. That dust was so big and so bad, it blew from Kansas all the way into New York City. It was deep. I mean, it was like, it was really, really bad. And of course, because, you know, people, you know, there may have been some factories, but there wasn't a lot of factories in those areas. It was mostly agricultural. And so people weren't able to eat. And so that's when you had, like, really people starving and bad stuff, and people had to leave the area and find another place to live, like California and whatnot. So, again, these are just examples of what has happened as we have lost our ability to stay connected and to honor the earth. So the question is, how do we do that? How do we honor the earth? How do we bring this all together? You know, it's interesting that this inability to honor nature has put us in a cycle of overconsumption. You know, we've gotten greedy. And so we, you know, we're overworked, we're overtired, we're overwhelmed because we've lost our ability to know what enough is, just like what's going on in the Amazon. You can't burn down the entire Amazonian forest just because you need to have some cows to sell to China or United States, you know, that you want to sell them beef and you need more land. It doesn't work like that. That's not okay. There's going to be some serious consequences of that. Or, you know, how they fished out a certain area, the fishermen. They just, I got to get all the fish I can, you know, and not giving the fish enough time to, you know, get fertile again and get more fish and produce more fish. So now what do? They create fish farms, you know. It's crazy. But all of that is because we've lost that ability. So, again, how do we gain that back? How do we learn what enough is? And I say the first thing to do is to begin a spiritual practice of honoring the earth. And so this is what I want to leave you with. Because again, I talked about healing that broken heart, holding your home, knowing what home is, as sacred. It's your physical body, it's your dwelling, and then it's your surrounding area. To see that as sacred and to treat it in that way. And now this is the cherry on top of the cake. This is a spiritual practice for connecting with the earth. It's a combination of some Native American wisdom, also some Peruvian wisdom that I have been exposed to. And, of course, there's always a sprinkle of some good African spirituality on top of it. So the first thing is that you make a list of what you have in abundance. It's like when I look around this room, I can see, and you can see, that I've got a lot of books in abundance, right? And so then you identify those things. It can be things. It can be also maybe you have in abundance, too many times when you're tired, when you wake up tired. That could be an abundance thing too. So think about that in all areas of your life. Where is there abundance? And it can be good. It can be bad. But ask yourself why for that thing. Why is that? Why is that in abundance? Then you're going to make a list of what you'd like to have in abundance. And, of course, you know, for most of it, it's going to be about money. But even with that, I want you to ask yourself why. Why do you want to be in abundance with money? What is it to do for you? You know, it's just like me with my books. I need to be clear about what do those books do for me. Why do I need to be in an abundance of books? And to be very clear about that. Next, I want you to create a prayer to ask and thank the earth to provide you with what is required for you to have your needs met in a balanced way. For you to have your needs met in a balanced way. The next thing you're going to do is create an offering to the earth in the form of a sacred bundle. Now, ideally, you should use some yellow cloth, okay, because that is, in the tradition I keep, the medicine color for the earth. It is yellow. And on the medicine wheel that I show you, with my book up here, you can see that in the middle here is the yellow for the earth element. And so you're going to take that yellow cloth and you're going to fill it with amounts of white foods. And I say amounts because you need to listen to your intuition to how much of each of these foods do you need to put into your bundle. And you're going to include things like white rice, white cornmeal, white beans, white flour, white sugar. You can also even throw some salt in there. Okay. And all of these foods are representative. They're symbols of, you know, the earth. So it's almost like you're giving the earth back to the earth. You're giving its gifts back to it. So they're representations of that. Once you've created your bundle and tied it up, you're going to place that bundle along with your prayer into the earth. So you're going to bury it. Or in a forest, you can leave it in a forest, or in a body of water, like a river, a lake, or ocean, if you're surrounded by concrete. Because I know I've been in situations where it's really hard to figure out and find a place to bury something. But in doing that, in making that offering, what you're doing is you are doing a faith gesture to acknowledge the earth as a living, breathing entity. This is probably the most important thing in this whole process, because until we understand that the earth is a living, breathing entity, that it is part of us, again, we don't own it, okay? It doesn't belong to us. We belong to it. You know, it's that kind of symmetry. And so when you do that, when you make that offering, that's what you're doing. You're connecting to the earth. And in this way, you will begin to get support for learning what enough is. So this is something that you can do once a month on the Earth Day on the 22nd, and it'd be very, very, very helpful to you because the spirits of the earth will come and work with you. They will support you in turning those things around. And in this way, you definitely will help to heal our relationship to the earth. Very important. So just as a reminder, I will post this personal challenge in the box below my YouTube video. If you're listening on the radio, I promise, I will post it on my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio. Also, if you're watching YouTube and you haven't already subscribed to my channel, please hit the bell and hit the box for subscribe. I really appreciate that, and I want to thank you for doing it, and if you have subscribed, I thank you so much for supporting my channel. Well, that brings me to the conclusion of Hearth Healing. I hope that it is of great help to you, I will continue, as I said, to keep an eye on us doing our earth rituals to help heal our relationship to the earth in the coming months. I want to begin closing by shouting out to my wonderful engineer, Miss Yvette Parker, and to the entire Black Hole Radio Be Well family. Thank you again. I could not be here at this portal without your support. Thank you so much. To all my regular listeners out there, especially Miss Sarah, a Wisdom Walker Deluxe. And to all of those who have wisdom walk with me and you know who you are, my family, my spiritual kin, my transformational leadership colleagues, my medicine brothers and sisters around the world, and those who are listening in for the first time, thank you. I could not be doing any of this without your support. Now, next week I will be on a break on the 27th, but I will return on November 3rd with a theme regarding the energy of the water element, because November is a double water month, and it's a third water month of the year. Again, my Facebook page is Wisdom Walk Radio. My YouTube channel is Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery. And last but not least, I want to thank my God, my ancestors, my spirit guides, my loving entities, everything that walks with me, keeps my head to the sky, my feet to the ground, and my heart open to do this important work with and for all of you. I will have this video posted by Tuesday, hopefully. But more importantly, please have a fabulous fire week, double fire week coming up. And remember that you are not disposable. You are divine. Good night now.
So let me download